Do you have a notebook or anything you want to put down, Dave?
Nope, I'll leave all of mine.
You're good? Okay, it's all in your mind?
Yeah, brother.
Well, good morning. And so if you're able to stand, I think she would stand for the reading of God's word. So I'm going to be reading from Romans chapter 5, verse 1, and then verses 5 through 8. So Romans chapter 5, verse 1 says, "Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace through God by the blood of Jesus." And then verse 5 says that, "Hope is not ashamed, because God has sent his love into our hearts by the Holy Spirit." And then verse 6 says that when we were weak, when we were helpless, when we were without hope, Christ came into the world to save sinners. And then in verse 7 it says, nobody would die for another person, but maybe a good person. But then verse 8, "For God shows his love in this, that even while we were yet sinners, when we were an enemy of God, Christ died for our sins." Heavenly Father, we thank you for the word of the Lord. And I pray, Holy Spirit, that you would move today in a powerful way. Touch these lips of clay for your honor and glory and praise. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. So, what is hope? You know, is hope just a wishful thinking? Like, I hope I get that parking spot, or I hope there's no more winter snowstorms. You know, I hope that they would bring the Oneonta to New York a old bacon buffet. Ooh, come on now. Oh yeah. Yes. I love my bacon. And by the way, the word bacon, that can be an acronym, like believers always consider others' needs. Ooh, there we go. And a little about me. So I was born legally blind. I've never known full vision or perfect eyesight. But when people say, "Well, what can you see?" I say, you know, I can always see God's love for me and the food on my plate. And so, you know, growing up, I was, in school, I was always picked on because of my vision. I was always chosen last and bullied. And when my parents divorced at an early age, about 4 years old, and for several years, my dad had sexually abused me for a few years. Sexual abuse happened to my dad. And my dad was in prison for abusing my cousin. And he later committed suicide. My cousin did. And so my dad was in prison. And I was just like angry at God. Like, why did this happen for? And I went on a Youth for Christ flight trip. And that's when I really felt God's love. Like I said, "Jesus, I need you, not just in my head, but in my heart." And when I became a Christian, I had all this stuff in my past still, like, you know, bottled up inside of me. And I made some wrong decisions, got involved with alcohol, and I was stealing things, and I ended up being arrested and going to county jail. He said, how can a blind guy get arrested? You know, it's a good question. But, you know, I wasn't totally blind, but I had better vision back then than I have right now. But, you know, as a believer, you know, God said, "Dave Lyle, I love you, and I'm going to discipline you." And so being arrested was the greatest blessing, because it was just me and God. And I had time to think about my past and what I've been through. And I'll get more of that later on. But I want to talk today about the word hope. And I'm going to talk about the word hope. I'm going to make it into an acronym. So the word hope, H-O-P-E, If we take the first letter, H, that would be for heaven. You know, whatever you're going through, you know, me with my legal blindness, now I'm having like, you know, issues with, you know, my knees, whatever, and this and that. I'm like, Lord, this is not my permanent home. And so whatever you're going through, whatever you may have, disease, sickness, some adversity, affliction, know that you are only passing by. That if you know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, heaven is your real home. And so whatever afflictions you go through, they are not going to be forever. And so I know that when that time comes, you know, now, don't get me wrong. I believe that, you know, God still does healing today. God still does miracles today. But I say, Lord, I know for sure that when I get to heaven, the first thing I'll see with perfect vision, I'm going to see the eyes of Jesus. I'm going to see the one who died for my sins. The one who took my, the one who took my guilt, condemnation, my shame. All that I've been through, the adversity, the affliction. I'm going to say, Jesus, I see the fullness of your glory. You know, and maybe you have a problem walking or talking or whatever it might be. But when you get to heaven, you're going to have a brand new body. No more doctors, no more medicine, no more side effects. You're going to have a brand new glorified body that will have no more weaknesses in it. You know, when I was at Elam Bible College, when I'm in New York, I remember my professor, Sylvia Evans, she said, God is not disabled by your disability. God is not, come on now. God is not limited by your limitations. Because you see, when we are weak, he is strong.
Amen. Amen.
And like that song said today, the worship band, your grace is enough for me. And I rely upon the grace of God every day. But you know, so heaven is our real home. And then, you know, I look at what happened now, my dad. Even though there was abuse, you see, my dad's dad was very abusive as a kid. And so hurting people hurt other people. But praise the Lord. My dad thought he was a Christian. You see, I was raised in the church as a young kid, you know, going to Sunday school and, you know, children's church, vacation Bible school. And I knew all about God in my head. I had religion, you see. But it was never in my heart. I never made it my own. And my dad, when he was in prison, he encountered the Holy Spirit in a powerful way. He got born again. And Jesus set him free. And he became a new man in Christ. And he went from depression and fear to joy, peace, and love. And a few years ago, see, me, my dad, my dad and me begun a healing journey. And when I got out of prison, I said, Lord, I'm ready to make amends with my father. I want a new start. And we met with an area pastor. We would meet once a week for reconciliation. It was very emotional. But I said, Dad, I forgive you for the abuse. Now you say, Dave, why are you crazy? How in the world could you forgive somebody who sexually abused you? How could you forgive them? But did not Jesus forgive you? Did he not forgive me? For we see in our text in Romans 5:8 that even while we were, when we didn't care anything about God, he died for us. Oh, praise God. What kind of love is that? You will not find that world. You will not find that love in the world system. You will not find love in social status. You will not find love in the news media. All you find in the news media is hatred, division, and yelling at each other. But if you want to find God's love, read the greatest love letter at all, the Word of God. Every page is filled with God's love. And so I forgave my dad, and we went to a buffet. It used to be a place called Ponderosa, in Odianza. And we had like a 3-hour conversation, just like, wow. And we started doing together Bible studies. And I remember at church one Sunday, after we were reconciled, we were sitting by each other, and it was Communion Sunday. We were doing the Lord's Supper. And the pastor who reconciled us, me and my dad, he served us communion. I said, wow, what a blessing. And, you know, so me and my dad, we became like the best of friends. And a couple of years, this was back in 2021, in August, you know, my dad loved just to be out in creation praying. And so one night he went out to Nystrand, walked down there and pay his bill in the nighttime drop box. And then he never came back. And I end up calling up my friends, whatever. And finally they said, we found your dad. He was hit by a vehicle. And he was hit like 30 feet in the air. He fell face first into a field. He died on contact. But you know, one minute he was praying. And because he was a believer in Christ, the next minute he was in God's presence. And, you know, this goes to my next letter, the letter O. Now, the letter O just has one circle. You know, and there's an old song that says, one is the loneliest number you can ever have. You know, just think about that number one. It's just alone. But, you know, when my dad passed away, I remember I was going back to Elam Bible College that same, like in 2 more weeks. And I remember sitting in the living room, facing the window, and I said, Lord, how am I going to take care of the bills, and who's going to take care of the house, and this and that? I said, God, I can't do this. And God said, you're right, you can't do this. That's why you have my grace. The word grace, G-R-A-C-E, God's riches at Christ's expense, hallelujah. And I said, Lord, I need your help. And God provided the resources that I was able to go back to Bible school. And I got my associate's degree in pastoral theology. And now I'm only 2 classes short of my bachelor's degree. I got to take the language class. And so, you know, I realized that, see, you can't do this life on your own. You need people to come by to support you, encourage you. Now, think about Jesus. Jesus was perfect. He had no sin. But he needed his disciples. Even Jesus needed to be encouraged, to be built up. And so we need each other. And this goes to the letter P, the word peace. You know, no God, no peace. No God, no peace. Say, what was that all about?
That's right.
You take the word no, N-O, no God, there's no peace.
Yeah.
But K-N-O-W, no God, no peace. You see, you can have peace in the middle of life's difficult storms. You know, and there was times when, you know, I should have been like, God, like I, at one point in my life, back in the, I tried suicide. I said, God, I can't do it anymore. I was a young Christian. A lot was happening in my family. And my grandma, who had the power of attorney over me, and my brother, she was an alcoholic, constant mood swings. And, but you know, it took a while to grow in this, but now I can say, yes, I have the peace of God that passes all understanding. And even when my dad passed away, everyone's like, well, you should feel this way. And I said, no, I'm not angry at the guy who hit my dad. Why? Because I have the peace of God.
Amen.
And, you know, even Jesus, one time he was in a boat with the disciples, and Jesus was just sleeping soundly. And all of a sudden, these waves came. There was a big storm. And the disciples said, "Master, wake up, wake up. We're going to drown. Don't you care about us?" And Jesus said, "Oh, you of little faith." And he said, "Storm, be still." And the storm was quieted. And, you know, the guy who hit my dad, I never met the guy, never saw the guy. But, you know, when I went back to Elam, the Lord gave me a dream. Now, my dad's name was Alan. And in the dream, this guy who hit my dad, he was in my dream. And people were walking by, and he said, "Who is this guy that Alan Weil knew about? Who is this guy that made Alan Weil so joyful?" He said, "I got to know this God." And I woke up and I said, "God, I get it." I said, "I know where my dad's at. He's in the glory of heaven, having the time of his life." You know, and my dad, he was a deacon, but he was also an encourager. He would greet people at church by the front door, and he'd always have a smile and a joke. You know, and he might say something like, "Why did the house go to the doctor?" "Because it had a window pane," you know? So I said, "Lord, I know where my dad's at, but this guy, where is his soul at?" And I said, "Lord, I forgive this man." And I said, "Lord, I said, God, if I met this guy, I would say, give me a big hug. I love you. Jesus loves you. He died for your sins. I hold nothing against you." See, we need to forgive other people. Life is too short to be holding against other people grudges. We're not promised tomorrow. We're not promised our next breath. It's a gift from God. And that leads me to my last letter, E, eternity. Where will you spend eternity? You see what's happening around us with the Middle East, Iran, Israel, the U.S. And you say, what's this world coming to? And this is where Jesus is going to come back one day. And if you know Jesus, he will take you with him. But if you don't know Jesus, you have no hope. And Jesus died for your sins so he wouldn't have to live without you. That's how much he loves you. And eternity. You know, we think about heaven. It's going to be like the Garden of Eden all over again. Restoration. No more sin, no more racism, no more division. It's going to be the way it's supposed to have been. And when we're in that new heaven and new earth, worshiping God forever, time will be no more. You see, my friend, down here, we live on seconds, minutes, hours, years. But heaven, there will be no more time because God is outside of time and space. And so 1,000 years will seem like, you know, one day will be like, wow, that was fast. It was like, it's going to be endless. We're going to be worshiping Jesus forever. We're going to be doing work, but the work we do won't be a burden. You know, if you like to paint or sculpt, or whatever you might do, maybe you play the violin or whatever, or the piano, you're going to be playing the most beautiful music ever with no imperfections. And so heaven, time will just fly right by and say, wow. But those who are in hell, time will move so slow. You know, think about, this is what he said, Charles Spurgeon. He said, imagine if Mount Everest was a mountain of sand. And every 10,000 years, a bird flies by, stops over Mount Everest, and takes one little sand and flies away with it, and it comes back for 10,000 years. Well, eventually, that mountain will be all gone. But to those who are in hell, time will just be beginning. Do you know Jesus? Not do you know about him in your head, but do you know him? You know, I learned this past week a new song. And I was like, wow, I was blown away. And it was called the Want of God. And I love, it's so powerful. It says, if the highest place I've ever been is at your feet, then I've done it all. If the best thing I've ever seen is your glory, then I've seen it all. Hallelujah. Oh, to be at the feet of Jesus, to be in his presence. You know, my friend, the Bible says, in his presence is fullness of joy. Hallelujah. His presence is life itself. Oh, I'm telling you, get to know Jesus because he loves you so much that he suffered for you. Even though you didn't care about God, he died for you. And then the third day he rose again. And, you know, whatever your story is, God is not done with you yet. You see, God is building you a masterpiece. He is sculpting you. Come on now. He is sculpting your life. Oh, God makes everything beautiful. Listen, God makes no junk. God makes no mistakes. And you are special in God's eyes. And whatever you're going through, God loves you. He's with you. And he wants to encourage you every day. So spend time in the Word of God. Forgive other people. Say, God, in the light of eternity, is it worth holding a, you know, Jesus said, if you don't forgive others, neither will my Father in heaven forgive you. He takes it very, very seriously. So forgive other people. Walk in God's love. You know, don't worry about what divides us because really, whatever your political views are, this or that, doesn't matter. What matters is, what are you going to do with the message of Jesus Christ? And the fact is, the gospel is very, very simple. The fact is, we've all sinned. We've all broken God's law. We've all missed the mark. You might say, yeah, but I never killed anybody. But do you have in your heart anger towards somebody? That makes a murderer in your heart. You say, well, I've never cheated on my wife before. But have you had for another woman lust? That makes you an adulterer in your heart. We've all broken God's commandments. But that's why we couldn't keep his commandments or his laws. That's why God sent Jesus to become one of us. He was 100% man, 100% God. And he went through every kind of temptation, yet without sin. And because he was that perfect, sinless sacrifice, he went to that cross, his blood was poured out, and he suffered emotionally, mentally, spiritually, physically, for our salvation. The third day he rose again. And the gospel is so simple. You admit you're a sinner, and you say, I can't save myself. I need Jesus. And when you ask him to come into your heart to be your Lord and Savior, he will give you a new life. All the sins you've ever committed will be forgiven, washed away by the blood of Jesus. And you will have hope. You will have hope forever because, see, you won't find your hope in social media. Now, it's not wrong to have social media because I've been before on Facebook. But it's how you use these things. You know, and so, but the greatest hope is to say, I want to know Jesus and then make him known to other people. Don't hide your faith. Now, I'm going to add at this time the worship band come forward. And as they're coming forward, I just wanted to challenge you. Right now, with every head head bowed and eye closed. If you don't know Jesus, if you were to die tonight, if tonight your soul was required of you, are you 100% certain where you would spend eternity? And if you're not sure where you would spend eternity, now is your chance to make sure that you will have your reservation for heaven reserved. So if you don't know Jesus, every head bowed and eye closed, if you don't know Jesus and you want to make sure of your salvation, just raise your hand. Now, number two, if you're here and you say, I'm a follower of Christ, but Dave, while I'm going through a hard time right now, I feel like I'm in a hopeless situation. I feel like God is distant from me. And I just want a fresh start with God. I want to renew my hope in God's word. If that's you, if you say, I want to find hope again, I want to make a fresh start with God. And if your prayer is to say, I want to lay at the feet of Jesus, I've done it all. I've seen his glory. I've seen it all. Then raise your hand. I'm just going to close in prayer. Then I'm going to have me and Pastor John come down forward. Father, we thank you for your Holy Spirit as our comforter, teacher, and guide. And I pray for everybody who raised their hand that they would leave this place refreshed, filled with your goodness, knowing that though this world might be evil, you're still the good God. You're still on your throne, God. You are sovereign. You are Lord, over all, Lord God. And those who are in a hopeless situation, help them to understand that you, Lord Jesus, you give them hope. You're always with. You said that you will never leave us or forsake us, Lord God. And we thank you. Holy Spirit, move now in a powerful way. Minister as you would will. And we give you all the honor and glory and praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Now the worship.